Tonight, I want to be the voice of encouragement. I want to exhort the holy brethren. I want to exhort the body of Christ. So I want you to take your copy of God's Word and be finding with me now the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I would invite you to be finding now the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew is very easy to find. It's the first book in your New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, and I want us to dial up a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of you can quote these verses from memory. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Prayer, but it is probably better called the Model Prayer. What is the context of the text? This is the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is the greatest preacher who ever lived, and he preaches the greatest sermon ever preached. It is the Sermon on the Mount. I like Matthew chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says that Jesus opened his mouth. He opened his mouth. It's hard to say something without opening your mouth. It's hard to preach without opening your mouth. There's a lot of preachers today, and I think they've got lockjaw. They don't say anything. But the Bible says that our Lord opened his mouth and he began to teach and he began to preach. These are wonderful spiritual principles. It's life application right down here where we live. And then in Matthew chapter 6, our Lord outlines for us three spiritual disciplines. Now, a discipline is something that's not easy. It's hard. It doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. Sometimes it's difficult. What three principles, what three disciplines does the Lord talk about in Matthew chapter 6? He talks about charitable deeds, our giving, works of righteousness. And Jesus says, when you do charitable deeds, when you give, don't do it to be bragged on. Don't do it to impress others. Don't do it to be seen of men. But when you give, when you do charitable deeds, do it in secret. And the Lord will see in secret and reward you openly. And then Jesus says, when you fast, it's another spiritual discipline. When you fast, you sacrifice, you neglect, you forego. When you fast, you starve the flesh and you feed the spirit. And Jesus says, when you fast, don't tell anybody about it. When you fast, don't brag about it. Don't make an announcement. But when you fast, here it is, do it in secret. And the Father will see in secret and reward you openly. Pastor Mike, I wish tonight I had time to talk about charitable deeds and giving. I wished I had time to talk about fasting. But I want us to look at this spiritual discipline of prayer. May we be men of prayer. It doesn't come naturally. It comes supernaturally. It's not always easy. It's sometimes hard. It's sometimes difficult. And Jesus says this, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. Don't just mouth empty, hollow words. Don't get in a prayer rut. But when you pray, go into your room. Go into your prayer closet. Pastor, about 3 or 4 years ago from this pulpit, I preached a message clean out your prayer closet. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray in secret. And your Father will see in secret. Doesn't say he'll hear in secret, but he will see in secret. And he will reward you openly. Everybody look this way. I need to be very transparent tonight. I don't know what Keith Boggs will think about this. I don't know what Johnny Hunt will think about this. I don't know what Mike Stone will think about this. But it's true. I pray every day of my life. There's not a day that goes by that I don't pray. Daily I pray. And sometimes it's easy to pray. Sometimes when I pray, it seems like all of heaven is listening. Sometimes when I pray, I get connected. I get hooked up. I go into the throne room. The old timers called that praying through. Sometimes I pray through, but sometimes nothing. Sometimes when I try to pray, seems like God has given me the cold shoulder. Seems like heaven has shut me out. And it seems like my words don't make it past the ceiling. So let me just say this. Everybody listen. I pray every day. Hear me. But I'm still not good at it. I'm still learning how to do it. I'm still a student of prayer. I haven't graduated from prayer school. I'm not real confident in my prayer life. I'm not content with my prayer life. I've never met a man who is. If you are content with your prayer life, you're just more spiritual than I am. So here's my prayer tonight. Lord, teach me how to pray. Show me how to do it. Lord, I want to pray with passion. I want to pray with intimacy. Every time I read something by E.M. Bounds on prayer, I always get convicted. And I say, Lord, I want to be a man of prayer like that. Every time I read about those preachers of old with the power of God who been on their face before God, I get convicted and I say, Lord, I want to be a man of prayer. I turned 50 years old the other day, and when I first started preaching, I would never make such a statement, but here goes. I want to be better at prayer than I am exegesis. I want to be better at prayer than I am alliterated outlines. I want to be better at prayer than I am exposition. And all of that stuff is good. I do it every week. But I want to be better in prayer than I am sermonizing. I've got 2 degrees in administration. They say you need to have that to pastor now. But I want to be better in prayer than I am administration. They tell me that we're supposed to be effective communicators. I want to be effective in my communication with God in prayer. So, Lord, show me how to pray. Teach me how to pray. That's exactly what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 6. Notice with me now, verse number 9. These words were spoken 2 millennia ago, yet still timely. Our Lord takes us now to the classroom of prayer. He's our teacher, and we're still learning how to do it. Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray. Here's how you pray. This is how you do it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says, this is the way you pray. Pray like this. Here's how you do it. So I want to speak tonight real briefly, if God would help me, on this subject. Praying below the surface. Praying below the surface. I'm going to make another confession. Sometimes my prayers sound something like this. In fact, lots of times my prayers sound something like this. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for blessing me and blessing our family, blessing our church. And Lord, that person is sick. Will you take care of that? Will you heal that person? That family, they just had to go down to the funeral home. They lost a loved one. Comfort them. And Lord, will you fix this and will you fix that? Will you work this out and work that out? Will you solve this problem? Will you take care of that crisis? Oh, and by the way, Lord, will you do it real quickly and not make me wait? Oh, and by the way, in Jesus' name I pray. In your will I pray. Amen. No one would stand up tonight and raise your hand and say, hey, I pray like that too. Well, I'll just go ahead and do it for you. Sometimes, I know it doesn't sound spiritual. I know it doesn't sound religious. I know it doesn't sound churchy, but sometimes that's the way I pray. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with bringing God all your stuff, with bringing him all of those requests the Bible tells us to. But that kind of praying is what I call generic praying, mechanical praying, religious praying. It's what I call, Pastor Mike, praying on the surface. So I want to know how to go a little bit deeper in my prayer life. I'm tired of praying those shallow prayers. I want there to be depth in my prayer life. I want to go beneath the surface. How do you pray below the surface? I just told you. I turned 50 the other day, and I am way past my prime athletically. But when I was in school, I played ball. I played football, and I started. I was on the first team, and I played baseball. And if you've ever been in organized athletics, you probably had a coach that led you in this prayer, and he called it the Lord's Prayer. And you and your teammates on some ball field somewhere recited these words and you learned to quote it from memory. But I want to say, friend, this prayer is more than just a recitation. It is a lifestyle. So Lord, teach us as the men of God to go a little bit deeper in our prayer life, to pray below the surface. I want to be that kind of man that when I pray, I feel faith rise up in me. I want there to be passion when I pray. Someone told me this years ago, I'll never forget it. Interaction does not necessarily mean intimacy. You can interact with God in prayer, but not have intimacy with God in prayer. You can interact with your wife, hey wife, how you doing wife, without having intimacy. You can interact with your coworker, and you sure don't want to have intimacy with that coworker. Listen to what I'm about to say. For a child of God, prayer ought to be as normal as breathing. You breathe in, you breathe out. You inhale, you exhale. How many of you know when you stop breathing, you're in trouble? How many of you know when you stop praying, you're in trouble? Someone sent me this the other day. If you only pray when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. There's a man in our church, this is what he said to me not long ago. You know, in my prayer life, preacher, I don't pray about everything. I don't pray about the little stuff. I just pray about big stuff. I can't remember who said this. But what you pray for is what you trust God for. What you don't pray for is what you trust yourself for. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So in this passage, the Lord Jesus gives us the necessity of prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is imperative. Prayer is a must. So I just want to leave you now by making three observations about how to pray below the surface. I'm still learning how to do it. Did I tell you that I'm not really good at prayer? Did I tell you that I'm still learning? I'm still a student. I've not graduated from prayer school yet. So let me just give you these prayer principles. We'll just kind of unpack what Jesus says and then we'll be done. Make a note of this. How do you pray below the surface? Oh, I like this first one. Start with praise. Start with praise. It'll transform your prayer life. Start with praise. Every prayer has a beginning and an end. So how do you begin that prayer? How do you start it? You start it with praise. Because, Brother Lynn, when you start that prayer with praise, it's not going to be a self-centered prayer. It's going to be a God-centered prayer. When you start that prayer with praise, it's not going to be a proud, puffed up, prideful prayer. It's not going to be a prayer focused on you. It's going to be a prayer focused on Him. Let me show you that in our text. Look at verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Here's how you do it, Jesus says. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Did you know when you start your prayer with praise, God responds to praise? It gets His attention. God likes it when we tell Him how good He is. He is omnipotent. He can do all things. He is omniscient. He knows all things. Yet He has reserved praise for you. and he's reserved praise for me. I think it's Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. We could say it this way: God inhabits the praises of his people. He abides in our praise. He dwells in our praise. He lives in our praise. Just go ahead and tell God how good he is. It'll change the way you pray. That's the way I start. Lord, I adore you. I honor you. I bless your holy name. You and you alone are worthy. I exalt you. I magnify you. And just begin to praise. And when I do that, inevitably, something begins to bubble up inside of me. And sometimes when you start the prayer with praise, that's all you do for the whole prayer. Praise just takes over the whole prayer. And let me just say it this way. God likes it. How do you get some depth in your prayer? I'm still learning. How do you pray below the surface? You start with praise. I wrote down this. If you want God to show up in your prayer life, speak up in your praise life. If you want God to show up in your prayer, speak up in praise. Tell God how good he is. Hallowed be your name. I looked up that word hallowed, and it means to acknowledge. God, I acknowledge you. I reverence you. I respect you. In Isaiah chapter 6, you preachers know, the prophet saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his robe filled the temple. And the angel said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He's a thrice holy God, holy for the Father, holy for the Son, holy for the Holy Ghost. Hallowed be his name. Don't you be ashamed to praise the Lord. Start your prayer in praise. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses has a burning bush experience with God. Moses is commissioned by God. And Moses says, when I go back and tell your people that you have sent me to be their leader, they're going to want to know who sent me. They're going to want to know who you are. They're going to want to know your name. So tell me, what is your name? And he said, I am that I am, Yahweh God, the eternal preexistent one, the God who was, is to come, and evermore shall be. I am. He am in the past. He am in the present. He am in the future. Bad grammar, good theology. Hallowed be your name. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are safe. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why don't you try that? When you begin to pray, instead of saying, God, do this, fix this, work this out, me, why don't you just go ahead and tell God what he already knows? Why don't you just tell him how good he is? Hallelujah to your name. I thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And everything that's in me, bless your holy name. Well, I believe that'll teach us how to pray a little bit deeper. You preachers know this little illustration. I heard about a little boy that was afraid of the dark, students, and his mama and daddy was trying to teach him how to stay in the bed all night by himself because he liked to go crawl in bed with Mama and Daddy. Well, Mama and Daddy's bedroom was downstairs, and that little fellow's bedroom was upstairs, and he had to climb those stairs and go into that bedroom, and Daddy would always turn out the light, and it would be pitch black dark. Well, this night, the father said, "Son, go upstairs. You got school tomorrow. It's time for bed. Won't you turn out the light and go to sleep?" 5 minutes later, the little boy yelled downstairs to his father, "Daddy, will you bring me a glass of water?" His daddy said, "No, son, don't ask me again. It's time to go to sleep. It's time to go to bed. You got school tomorrow." 5 minutes later, that little boy yelled down to his daddy, "Daddy, will you bring me a glass of water?" And that father said, "No, son, I told you not to ask me again. Now go to sleep, turn out the light. You got school tomorrow. And if you ask me one more time, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to come upstairs and wear you out." 5 minutes later, that little boy said, "Daddy, when you come to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water?" Maybe he was afraid of the darkness and he just wanted to spend some time with his father. When I look at this mean old world, it scares me, friend, and it's so dark, and I just want to be in his presence. I just want to spend some time with my father. "Hallowed be your name, our Father in heaven." Well, how do you go deeper in your prayer life? I'm still learning myself. How do you pray below the surface? Number one, start with praise. But then secondly, share the petition. Share the petition. Look at verse number 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." Look at verse 10 again. "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we pray, we don't need to pray this way, "My kingdom come." We pray, "Thy kingdom come." Yes. When we pray, we don't pray, "My will be done." We pray, "Thy will be done." You students know that that word kingdom means the rule and reign of Christ. May the kingdom rule and reign in my life. Hey, watch this. Wherever Jesus is king, there is the kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king. I'm glad Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God. And prayer is not about me lining God's will up with my will. Prayer is about me lining my will up with his will. Prayer is not about me telling God what I need in my life. Prayer is God telling me what I need in my life. That's prayer. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will be done." This is country talk. I think Emmanuel understands country talk. If Jesus prayed the will of the Father, reckon we should pray the will of the Father. And then in verse 11, he makes that request. He brings his petition. "Let your requests be made known unto God. Give us this day our daily bread," that sustenance. "Lord, sustain us, nourish us. God, we can't even survive without you. You are the breath in our lungs. You are the living water that we drink. You are the bread of life that we eat." Bring those petitions before the Lord. I think it's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we asked of him. Why don't you just ask? You know what? At our church up in Rockmart, Georgia, there's men that's carrying around anxiety. I'm one of them. There's men carrying around depression. Sometimes that's me. We've got men in our church that's carrying around worry and stress. We've got men in our church that's carrying around addiction. We've got men that's carrying around this and that, marital issues, and probably the same thing is here tonight. Why don't you just give that to God? Why don't you just unload it on him? Brother Mike, you've heard me say this. God has never said to me, you're putting too much on me. Now, Baptists tell me that all the time. But God has never said, you're just loading me down too much. I just can't take it. No, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. Pastor Johnny, when I was 11 years old, my parents sent me to Chattanooga, Tennessee for 1 week out of the summer to a camp called Camp Joy. And it was a conservative Baptist camp. It was independent fundamental. I mean, it was strict. It was so strict they wouldn't even let you have mixed swimming. The boys had to go swimming in the pool one day, then the girls had to go swimming the next day in the pool. But you know what? They taught me to memorize scripture. They taught me the Word of God. And Matthew 7:7, I learned it 40 years ago, Matthew, and I can still quote it today. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Why don't you just go ahead and bring in that stuff tonight? Here's my new motto. After 14 years at the church, here's my new motto. I can't fix it. Because when I first came, Keith Boggs, I thought I had to fix everybody's stuff. And you know what? It just about killed me. Because the truth is, I can't even fix me, much less you. I can't fix it. Why don't you tell him about it? Why don't you load him down? Why don't you just go ahead and cast it on him? Some of you didn't even want to come tonight because you're so burdened down. You're not going to stand up and give a testimony about it tonight. Pastor Mike don't know about it. But you're struggling. Why don't you just go ahead and just bring that petition to the Lord? Why don't you just give it? Why don't you just give it to him? Well, bring your petitions to the Lord. I think that'll teach us how to get a little bit of depth in our prayer. We got to go a little bit deeper when we pray. Then look at verse number 12. And forgive us our debts. Now, wait a minute. That verse doesn't seem to fit there. Right in the middle of the prayer school, right in the middle of the lesson, the teacher starts talking about forgiveness and unforgiveness. If I was teaching the lesson, I would have left that out. But did you see it, Pastor? Right in the middle of the model prayer, he brings up forgiveness. Look at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I found out that I'm real good at getting forgiveness. I'm not real good at giving forgiveness. There's givers and takers, you know. I'm a taker. I'll take his forgiveness and his grace all day long, but it just seems like it's harder for me to give it to someone else. We're going to say more about that forgiveness thing because Jesus is going to bring it up again. Look at verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Somebody said, lead us not into temptation. I can find it myself. And I found out you don't have to go looking for temptation. Temptation will come looking for you. God tests us to bring out the best in us. The enemy tempts us to bring out the worst in us. Well, how do you pray below the surface? Number one, start with praise. Just tell God how good He is. And then share your petition, your burdens, your cares, your stuff. We've all got it. And then lastly, how do you go deeper in your prayer life? I'm still learning. Number three, seek His pardon. Seek His pardon. Let me just say it again. It doesn't sound real spiritual, but every day I pray a prayer something like this. God, you know that thing that I did last week and I confessed it? I've done it again. Time out. I'm better at confessing sin than repenting of sin. See, repenting is when you stop it and you go in the opposite direction. It's when you turn and go the other way. Maybe I'm the only one. I confess a sin and God wipes it away with His wonderful grace and mercy and doesn't even hold it against me. But just a few days later, I do it all over again. Am I the only one? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, hey, we got to fess up our mess up. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Brother Mike, every time I go back to God and say, Lord, I've done it again. Will you forgive me? Every time He does. Every single time. And I have to seek His pardon. You know why I do that so much? You know why I'm always doing that? Because Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Listen, men, if there's something in your life tonight, and I know there is, and you're unwilling to confess that and repent of that, you might as well not even pray. If I regard iniquity in my heart, and then look at verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Pastor, he brings it up again. He's teaching us about prayer, and he keeps talking about forgiveness. 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 The idea there of a debt is that of an infraction, a trespass, a transgression, something that we owe. Romans 6:23 says it's the wages of sin, a debt. And the idea there is of a ledger or a big list and all the infractions listed there. Mike Stone did this, Lynn Harris did that, and just a big, long laundry list. Psalm 130, verse 3, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? Aren't you glad God doesn't keep a list against us? 1 Corinthians 13, love keeps no record of wrongs. But let me confess again. Sometimes I get put out. I love our church, I love our people, and I think they love me. But sometimes I can get so irritated. And sometimes I'll say things like this. All right, if that's how he wants to act, let him go. I'm done with him. And I've said that. And the last time I said that, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, who do you think you are to say you're done? You're done? Are you kidding me? I have to forgive you every single day. He's on my list. I'm keeping a record of all the stuff that he's... Some of you men out, you've got a list of people you're mad at, that you're hurt at. You kind of got a list. You wouldn't admit it, but when you see that person, it rises up. You don't even want to talk to them. You go the opposite way. You got a list. You know what? You're holding on to debts. How dare we, who have been forgiven and released and pardoned from debt, hold someone else in debt? I wrote this down. We base our forgiveness on what God has done for us, not on what others have done to us. I would encourage you to forgive. They're going to put this on the screen. You will never have to forgive someone as much as God has already forgiven you. Wow. And could it be that unforgiveness has clogged up your prayer life? Could it be harboring something against that person or that person? Holding that grudge. I want to say, friend, you're not holding the grudge. The grudge is holding you. Pastor Johnny, why does Jesus keep bringing up forgiveness and unforgiveness when he's talking about prayer? So whoever you're upset with, whoever's wronged you, whoever's gotten on your list, I promise you, if you'll pray for them, something will happen, because it's hard to be mad at somebody you're praying for. And I close with this. The first 10 years or so as the pastor of our church, I made this statement from the pulpit several times, and I even kind of felt good when I said it. I kind of shamed the men in our church, and I was so wrong. And I would say, men, I'm going to tell you something. When I get in trouble, when I get in a bind, I'm not calling you to pray. I'm calling some of these sweet ladies, because we got some prayer warriors at our church. The ladies can pray. Pastor Mike, I said that for so long. And then one day, as I said it, the Holy Spirit said, you're wrong to say that. You need men in this church who will pray for you. You need some accountability partners. So if you don't have any prayer warriors in your church that are men, then you help develop some. You cultivate some. This section right here, men, God wants you to go a little bit deeper in your prayer life. This Pastor Scotty, your students, he wants you to pray beneath the surface. This section and this section, this section and this section. Guys, let's go a little bit deeper in our prayer life. Lord, God, I've just confessed some stuff tonight. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, and all those things. And I pray every day, but I'm not content. I'm not satisfied with my prayer life. I don't even feel like I'm good at it most of the time. I'm still learning how to do it. But this model prayer has helped me in my own prayer life. Lord, when I began to pray just today, I didn't bombard you with all my stuff. I just began to tell you how good you are. I started it with praise, and it just seems like it made the prayer so much better. And then, God, after I thanked you and blessed you, God, I had to do some confession. Forgive me of that thought. forgive me of that word. God, forgive me of any hint of pride in my life. God, you know my heart. I don't even know my heart, but you do. And you know my intentions. You know my motives. And then, God, I began to bring you some of that stuff, all those petitions, those things that have loaded me down, and I just cast it on you. And then, God, I thank you that you have heard my prayer, and you have taught me in your word tonight how I can go a little bit deeper in my prayer life. I pray for Keith Boggs and his ministry. Thank you, God. He's doing great things. Thank you, God, that he's making an investment in the lives of families and men. I pray that you'd bless his ministry. I pray for Pastor Johnny Hunt. He's been a hero to so many men through the years. I've looked up to him for so many years. And God, you're still using him. I pray for new doors of opportunity. I thank you for this man. I thank you that he has been a mouthpiece. He has been a mentor. He has been a Paul for so many Timothys. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mike. I thank you for his friendship. I'm thankful that our paths have crossed. God, he is the pastor here. He's got other responsibilities. There's a lot of things that he does. I pray that you'd bless him. I pray even for his prayer life. Lord, we love you. I pray for these men, that these men might get this burden to go deeper in their prayer life. We love you and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.